Welcome to the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association wake-up call show, and glad you could join us. I'm Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Pat Park.
Glenn Fink.
Kim Fink.
Mary.
We have a special guest today, Pat Park, and we are going to ask her to tell a little bit about her background, and then we are going to ask some questions.
Okay. My major employment background is as a signals intelligence officer and Russian linguist in the United States Air Force from 1976 to 1998. That encompasses the Cold War. And when Mary asked me the other night, what did you do in the Air Force? And I told her, well, I was a signals intelligence officer, Russian linguist during the Cold War. She asked me to come on the show and talk about how that informed my view of what's going on in Iran and also between the Israelis and Hamas, and that gave me food for thought, and so I hope to inject that into the conversation.
Okay. You were an intelligence officer, Russian...
Specialty,
during the Cold War.
Mm-hmm.
So you were listening to what America was saying, and you were listening to what Russia was saying.
We didn't listen to what America said. In fact, the joke was in the Air Force, we didn't recognize any of the Air Force airplanes. We were only concerned with the Soviet airplanes and what they were saying.
Okay.
In fact, last night somebody asked me, I think it was you, asked me if I spoke Russian dialects, and I said, I speak pilot.
Because that's what you were listening to.
Right.
What do you gain by listening to the pilots?
You identify the aircraft. Actually, being in West Berlin, which was situated within East Germany, our goal was, we were a tripwire for NATO. Our goal was to listen to Soviet air activity and possibly warn NATO, this is not an exercise, they're coming.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're sitting behind the POW signs at that point. But that was our job. And you could identify when new aircraft came into the inventory, tactics, how well they could fly in bad weather, anything you could, any information you could gather. And of course, our entity was funded by the National Security Agency. So all the information that we collected went back to NSA. That was when NSA did its
job.
Its job of only listening to foreigners. Now they listen to us. I used to have a T-shirt that said, "In God we trust, but everybody else we intercept." It used to be funny. It's not that funny anymore.
Mm-hmm. What you just told me, and I don't know if you meant to, was how much information you can glean from what seemingly insignificant details.
Mm-hmm.
And it is quite possible, I've read too many Vince Flynn and Tom Clancy novels, but I do remember... I think this was a Tom Clancy, where a foreign agent romanced a secretary to figure out when her boss was going to be out of the office, knowing that boss would make a trip to a South American country and they could attack. And what you're saying is, by listening to the pilots, okay, this plane does not do well in bad weather, and things like that. I'm amazed at the little snippets.
I'll give you a better example. How about what information you can gather from when everybody goes to pick up their dry cleaning on an Air Force base? What do you think you could glean from that?
No idea.
Well, they must be getting ready to do an operation if everybody's got to have a clean uniform.
Some kind of deployment, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a lot of information. I mean, spies used to go after the phone book for the base.
Are you saying you were a spy?
I am. Little old me, yes.
But I like the... I didn't realize bases had phone books. That's how naive I am, but that makes sense.
Well, it gives you all the job titles. It gives you the organizational plan, who's in charge of what, how to reach them.
Well, I remember during the peak of the terrorism threat, if there was such a thing, seems like it's ongoing, but sometime in the mid-20-teens, that there was a list that came out of places that were on the terrorist target list. And New Bern was on that list. And the reason New Bern was on that list was because we had some senior Marine officers here. And there were incidents where in the backyards of some of those senior Marine officers that there had been some poor innocent burglar, if I can use that expression, had wandered into the wrong backyard and almost wound up being killed.
Hamburglar.
Yeah. So there were, you know, somebody may have gotten hold of a phone book or something of that ilk. You don't think about the little things that can be put together to make a bigger picture.
That is true. And because we're a freedom of information country, we're just oozing information.
Now, did you back say TikTok?
Now, back in the Soviet day, the Soviet government had a complete lockdown on information, not only within their government, but within their populace. Mm-hmm. If you showed too much interest in any subject that you weren't allowed to think about or know about, you were going to get a knock on the door.
Well, you know, we have a situation now. I'm going to say that the person that occupies the White House right now sometimes doesn't have the necessary controls on what he says. Mm-hmm. That gives away, because I'm important, I know, blah, 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 and is telling the whole world something that up until that moment had been top secret.
Mm-hmm. Like we're running low on this particular ammunition.
Yeah, I know.
Our strategic reserve is almost empty.
That's right, yeah.
I mean, we're handing it to people who don't like us on a silver platter.
The solution for that is, you know, they used to say during the Cold War, in fighting the enemy, don't become them. So the solution to oozing information is to lock down your society, and we're just not going to do that.
No.
So. You know, there
but
was,
then there's loose lips sink ships.
That's true.
There was a situation that I found out about in hindsight. I worked for a defense contractor, and I know that defense contractor was put on a priority basis to design, develop, and deploy the Pershing missile for one purpose. It had to be deployed by a certain date so that Reagan could give it away 2 or 3 days later. Hey, it was a very viable missile, but he needed that particular Trump card.
The negotiating
tool. Negotiate.
Did you say Trump card? Oh, no, that's a whole nother can of worms.
Can you talk a little bit about the way that the Russians used propaganda?
Well, not the Russians, the Soviets.
Okay.
Because the Russians were a Soviet republic within the Soviet Union. Just so happened that they were in charge. At any rate, propaganda was seen as a positive feature of the Soviet Empire, if I can call it that. And so I did some research before I came this morning, and here's a definition for propaganda from the Soviet era. Propaganda in the Soviet Union was the practice of state-directed communication aimed at promoting class conflict, community organizer Obama, anybody, internationalism, one world government, the goals of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union, and to that I would say substitute Hamas, Hezbollah, Osama bin Laden, etc., and the party itself, the Communist Party. And I would point out that the number one sign of the success of propaganda by the terrorist in the United States is the coexist sticker.
Mm-hmm. The two-state solution?
No, coexist.
Spelled out, coexist with all the religious symbols.
Yeah. The Episcopalian Church is big on that one.
Every time I see somebody driving a car with that sticker, well, first I want to crash my car in the back of theirs. But I would like to go tick, tick, tick on their window and go, do you know who you're trying to coexist? And answer one question, can you coexist with somebody who's theological underpinnings of jihad required them to kill you.
Yes.
You cannot coexist with somebody who wants to kill you.
Well, that's the same problem with the two-state solution. To expect Israel to exist with someone who has vowed to drive them into the sea doesn't make a lot of, you know, if you're living next door to a guy who says, I'd like to murder you and steal your house, you might have a problem with that. You know, you might want to arm up, notify the local police department, you know, take some action. You know, that's not something you're going to quietly coexist with.
Well, that harks back to what I said about, did we understand the Soviets to intend to keep their agreements they made with us during the Cold War? No. Did we pretend that they were going to keep them? Yes, because we kept making them. But then Reagan got around to trust but verify. Well, the Israelis, under international pressure, are trying to make arrangements with the Palestinians, knowing the Palestinians are never going to keep them. We all understand they're not going to keep them, but we're required to pretend they're going to keep them in service of the propaganda.
We need there to put on that front.
Right.
The anti-Israel propaganda has been very successful, and unfortunately, a lot of it has been carried out by the United Nations. When you look at the times the United Nations has criticized the actions of a country, you find out that the vast majority of times it has been against Israel. We've had Cambodia, when they killed people, the killing fields and things like that, that the UN never bothered to mention. But Israel is constantly being criticized for common sense generally.
Well, I'll tell you what, folks, we're just going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters, and we will be right back in a couple of minutes. And again, thank you for staying with the show.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back. And again, thank you for staying with our sponsors and supporters.
I just want to mention this show is being recorded on Wednesday. It will be aired over the weekend. So if some of the things that we talk about, because things are changing very quickly, change, that is why there may be a difference.
No. Don't ever question anything that we say. No. Let's go right along with the government.
I agree. Absolutely.
Yeah, we're going to go back to Pat, and she's going to talk a little bit. We're going to let you talk some more about Islam.
Before I get to that, let me point out that because I was a signals intelligence officer, and we've already discussed how much information you can glean from very little information, and you asked me to apply that experience and knowledge to this situation. So my first question was, well, did the CIA miss finding out about this attack? Because I know they didn't. And so the question remains, did they tell anybody? Did they tell Israel? Well, this morning what I found out was, and I'm just going to read this, according to multiple sources, the CIA issued two reports warning the Biden administration of increased Hamas threats days before the attack, but neither Joe nor other senior White House officials were briefed on the reports. The CIA did not consider the reports to have particular significance to policymakers. And if you ask yourself why, Joe Biden has surrounded himself with a bunch of anti-Semites. They're not interested in what happens to Israel. They're not interested in, I mean, he wouldn't even talk to Benjamin Netanyahu. He doesn't care about Israel, and his first impulse was to rush $9 million in humanitarian aid, quote unquote, to Gaza Strip. And, you know, I started thinking about World War II. Okay, we firebombed Dresden.
Yes, we did.
So would we ask the Nazis, we'd like to have a ceasefire, please, so we can give some humanitarian aid to the people in Dresden. Would you be willing to do that? That's what we're asking Israel to do.
There's another aspect of this visit to Israel, too. This visit was not done at the request of Israel. This visit was done blackmailing Israel, saying, if you do not allow our president to come see you right now, we will not give you any aid. And the reason they want Biden over there is to slow down the Israeli response to Hamas. I don't know how they're getting weapons into the Gaza Strip, but I'd make a pretty safe bet that they are getting them in, whether it's through tunnels or by sea or whatever, in this humanitarian aid. I don't know. I can tell you that when Israel became a nation and they were being attacked by everybody around them, they were smuggling in machine gun parts in loaves of bread. So there are a lot of ways to get around an arms boycott. But Joe Biden is over there for the sole purpose of delaying the Israeli response to give Hamas a chance to get stronger. The principle in Islam is hudnu, which means declaring a truce while you can strengthen your own troops so that you can come back and win. And that is tied into another principle of Islam called taqiyya, which means it's okay to lie to the infidels if you're supporting and or advancing the cause of Islam. So those two principles are very much at work in this war. So, Patty, please continue.
Okay, Pat. Off-beef Patty. Cow Patty.
Sorry.
Really don't go by Patty. I watched Greg Gutfeld. The other night, and he started complaining about this idea of proportionality, mm-hmm. which he said we're going to be hearing a lot of because people are trying to put pressure on Israel not to counterattack Hamas. But proportionality, I used to teach it to my criminal justice classes in death penalty cases because it's a very important area of testimony. And I used to play them part of an opera, The Mikado, where the guy sings, let the punishment fit the crime.
Yes.
That's proportionality. And how proportionality would apply to what Hamas has done to Israel blows my mind, because in that case, we should be inviting Israel to go in and echo the kind of attack that Hamas made on them. But of course, that's not how it's being used. So he said, I hate this term and I don't want to hear any of it. And I have to agree with him. I don't think proportionality as a concept should apply to the Iran, I mean, the Hamas attack on Israel. I keep mentioning Iran because we all know Iran paid for it. We're all supposed, somebody's buying these weapons for Hamas, and we're all supposed to pretend it's a mystery, that we don't know. Where are they getting these weapons? We know where they're getting them. We pretend that we don't know because that's part of the propaganda effort.
I wonder if any of those weapons that are being smuggled to them were some of what we left behind in Afghanistan.
There have been multiple reports that they are. They've shown up.
It almost sounds like the word is better, moderation, you know, meaning to dial it back than
right.
proportionality.
Right.
It's almost like the wrong word was being used in that situation.
I agree.
But
I
then you go back to Dresden, because Dresden was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it was awful, but it was also necessary, and it solved the problem.
Well, the only way to win a war is to fight harder than the other guy.
Yeah.
You have to crush him. So to talk about proportionality and think that the war between Hamas and Israel is ever going to end if they each fight the very same way is silly. It's just silly. Unless Israel said, we're going into Gaza and we're going to crush Hamas. And the whole world went, oh, no, that's terrible. Let's rush the money to Gaza. Unless Israel goes in there and cleans them out. This is just another incident on the long road of jihad against Israel.
Well, you know, if you remember back to the, I can't remember what episode of Star Trek it was, but Star Trek came up with a situation where they came into a situation where there were two worlds or countries at war with each other, but they decided we're not going to destroy any of their property. We're going to play essentially a card game,
mm-hmm.
and based on the winner of the card game, you need to eliminate so many people on each side. But we don't want to hurt buildings or anything like that. So that will be our new set of war plans.
As a Trekkie, I remember that episode very clearly.
And you know, so here, if we were going to use proportionality, are we supposed to reply in kind, which we're not going to?
Not that kind.
Not that kind.
Israel, there's no moral equivalent.
There is no,
Israel and Hamas.
No.
So if you're talking about proportionality, what do we expect Israel to do? To go in there and find a music festival and slaughter them and take the women hostage and parade them around naked and chop heads off babies?
We're up against a society that understands that the Israelis are not people. They're less than people. So therefore, there is no real penalty in killing civilians. They do not treat them as if they are humans.
Well, let me interject this. There's something that the Jews said when they established Israel, which is never again after World War II, after the annihilation. Never again. They must see this that way. This is another annihilation.
This
of
is
Jews.
A pogrom. This
yeah.
is a pogrom.
So never again, Israel will be doing something. What it is after the world starts putting their pressure on them, we don't know. But their immediate goal was to go into Hamas and crush Hamas, and we've kept them from doing that. They haven't gone into Gaza yet. They're monitoring. They've moved up their forces, but they haven't gone in. So one for Hamas.
But we've also got Iran with the threat of if they do this, then we're going to get involved. And we know they already are, like you said before.
They're supplying the weapons.
But I don't know that I believe they don't have nuclear capabilities over all of the treaties and things that we've had in the past. We keep hearing how close they are, but they're acting awful confident.
There's also something else that happened today that I think we need to be aware of in reference to Iran. The restrictions that the UN had on Iran getting missile technology expired today. And the United States was in a position to veto that, and we chose not to, oddly enough.
Thank you, Joe.
But I want to go back to something about what you do with Hamas just for a minute. I have posted pictures at Right Wing Granny in various articles of Palestinian, quote-unquote, graduating classes in kindergarten, of children dressed in combat uniforms holding fake machine guns and celebrating the fact that someday they would free the Al-Aqsa Mosque, which is the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem, and that their goal was to grow up and kill Jews. If you've got a generation that has been taught that, my only solution, I don't want to kill all of them, however it's tempting, would be to put them on an island in the middle of the ocean somewhere, drop supplies by airplane so they had food, and let them die out of old age.
All right, Mary, now you're sounding like a conspiracy nut. I think we should put them in Hillary's deprogramming camp.
Well, we've tried that with the Gitmo guys that we've let loose, and we found them back on the battlefield.
I think the only thing I would disagree with in your statement is I don't think that they were posing with fake guns. I think that they are taught, just as you teach a banker to deal with real money, you teach those young kids how to deal with real weapons.
I don't know if a little kid can hold a real weapon, Bob.
But you're going to try to get them used to whatever is real. You're not going to try to play a game.
Well, you know, Lenin, during the Russian Revolution, said, "Give me the kids." And that's what's going on in our public schools.
Yes.
And our universities.
That's why our universities are having these pro-Palestinian demonstrations. They have no idea of the history of the area or anything else.
Folks, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, thank you for staying with us. This is the CCTA Wake Up Call.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back. And again, thank you for staying with us. I'm going to go to Kim.
I've been reading articles in the Carolina Journal the last several days about the continued election voter ID controversies, and just wanted to be sure that people are aware that there are three lawsuits going on having to do with the election law that our General Assembly just passed, which would have been the House Bill 749.
Now, in that case, the House, it got passed by the legislature, it got vetoed by the governor,
and then overridden.
Then it was overridden.
Right. And the day that it was overridden, I mean, it was barely announced before there were two lawsuits filed, and then there was a third lawsuit filed yesterday. But they don't want us to be able to enforce the ballots not being counted if they're not in by election day. They want to reinstate the 3 days after the election day. They're still not happy with the photo ID. And then the third law.
Same day registration.
Yeah, the same day registration. They're still filing that. The third suit, it was filed on October 10th. But it does have provisions related to the same day registration. And that's the same part of the bill that requires the mail-in absentee ballots to arrive by election day, where the old law allowed them to count any ballot received up to 3 days after the election day. But the lawsuit that just happened, here again goes back to the same Senate Bill 749, and it means that both of the major parties, which would be the Democrats and the Republicans, would both have four members on the state election board, where traditionally it has been in the favor of the party of the governor, and that has been tradition. And this would change that. Well, the governor is suing, basically saying that the General Assembly took his due power away from him.
Executive power, they're transferring it to what, the legislature?
To the General Assembly, yes. So those are the three lawsuits going on with our election bills. But for municipal elections for this year, voter ID is intact, but we cannot sit back on our laurels and assume that these same things are going to be in play for the general election in 2024. So I would just say that people need to be aware. Something else, the first lawsuit they're talking about, that they don't think that it's fair that we have a 30-day residency requirement to vote. I don't think 30 days is long enough to be considered a resident, number one. But they want it to be same-day registration and, you know...
Well, if you're going to bus in your voters, you want them to be able to register that day. Otherwise, your hotel bill gets too big.
Well, to me, it just seems like these are not common sense arguments in my mind, and I am no genius by far, but it seems like all of the things that was targeted in the election changes were to make our elections more secure, to have more integrity, to be more transparent to what was going on. And the only reason, in my mind, that makes sense why you wouldn't want to prove who you say you are is so you can cheat.
And the laws that were there are to make the whole process more orderly.
And it applies to everybody.
To everybody equally.
Right. And what I forgot to say in the thing about the election boards, it also pertains to the counties. Like right now in Craven County, when we have our judges, it's also an uneven number on our election board. That would also turn into an even number.
You know, something that perturbs me is, you know, even when you're going for an absentee ballot, now apparently you have to, the person requesting it actually has to sign that request form for the absentee ballot. But is there a requirement for the Board of Election to compare that request signature with the signature on file? I doubt it.
Well, they're supposed to. They're supposed to keep the envelope connected to the ballot until...
But see, I'm talking at the time that they request the absentee ballot.
I don't know.
Because if you know, if you request it and I've signed Donald Duck and my name is not Donald Duck and or doesn't look like Donald Duck's signature or whatever else, should I even get an absentee ballot?
Well, there was some testimony or some press coverage of testimony by I think Georgia elections clerk who said she didn't know they had to check the signatures on the ballots of absentee ballots. And she was asked by the lawyer, well, do you know that now? Well, I know it now, but I didn't know it then. Well, if you're an elections clerk and you don't know how elections work, I rest my case.
And you know, the other one on the same day registration, I can guarantee you that the signature on the same day and that ballot cast on the same day, those signatures are in fact going to agree.
I want to
say something about what you're talking about. We saw a tremendous amount of out-of-state money coming into the state with the casinos and with the medical marijuana. The goal of the Democrats is to turn North Carolina into a blue state. They are pouring thousands of dollars into Democrat candidate coffers. This fighting this election law is part of the campaign, because if they can do the kind of fraud that we've seen in some of the other places, they can win enough seats to create problems for the state. And of course, my other point I just want to make real quick, we got here in 2013. The Republicans took over the state legislature in, I think, 2000, sometime around 11, 12, 13, right around there. And they have cleaned up the deficit. They have dropped our personal income tax. They have made a lot of really positive changes. And we, as a result of that, we are one of the top states for businesses to locate in. We shouldn't want to give that up. And that's, if these laws are not kept in place, that is the danger.
Mary, I want to make one minor change in what you said before, because I know you attributed all of this to a single party. No, folks, it's both parties have been found to be violating these simple, straightforward laws. So I just want to make sure that the law says we're going to follow a certain process that seems to be sound and truthful and honest. We need that.
I just want to make the point that these kind of lawsuits are part of what you call lawfare.
Right.
Mm. Where you use the judicial system to overcome something that happened in the political sphere that you don't like. I mean, look at it. The election law requiring voter ID was passed in 2018.
Right.
And they filed lawsuits, and we're just now getting to actually implement voter ID. So lawfare works.
Well, part of what was in Senate Bill 747 was banning private funding of elections in their administration, and it clarifies the rules for party-sponsored poll site election observers. It bans drop boxes for ballots, and there's some other changes in the document as well. But a trigger for me is always the money part of it. So I'm going to dig in further and find out what it means by banning private funding of elections.
That came from Zuckerberg.
Zuckerbucks.
Zuckbucks, yeah. He was sending money to the Democrats to finance their Dropbox and all of those operations, vote gathering.
How is that different than bundling that the lobbyists will do or the super PACs?
Because he was giving it to the government. He was giving it to the government so they could pay for the operation of the election system.
That's
a whole different ballgame.
They paid that you could send out absentee ballots to everybody,
right,
even if they
right.
didn't request them.
Right. Well, I think getting rid of the drop boxes is a great thing. And I know that Major Dave Goetz was going to meet with some of our General Assembly people this week because of additional inconsistencies and discrepancies that he's continuing to find in our voter rolls, specifically around the Mecklenburg County. So
the jump in registration.
Correct.
Wow.
And things that were people that were registered to vote and then they weren't registered to vote and now they're registered to vote again. You know, just things that are not consistent.
correct me if I'm wrong, but we didn't have drop boxes in North Carolina, did we?
As far as I know,
this has been sure it
doesn't
come.
Correct.
But we didn't, I didn't believe we did.
That is one of the places where election fraud can be rampant. There was a commission formed, I don't even remember under who, but it involved Jimmy Carter. And he made the statement, the commission made the statement that the place where you are most likely to have voter fraud is in mail-in ballots. And if you look at particularly the 2020 election, we saw that in operation. And if you're smart, and I use that word loosely, you can target certain counties and certain places to actually manipulate an election to make sure that your person wins. And when you look at the swing states that happened in 2020, and one of the things that happened in 2020 was there are 19 bellwether counties in Ohio that predict the presidential winner. 18 of them predicted Trump. There were some shenanigans going on, and these kind of laws will hopefully prevent those shenanigans in North Carolina.
Well, that's the whole 2,000 mules
concept,
which was using the drop boxes, but it's essentially the same issue.
Yes.
Mail-in / drop box.
Yeah, trying to take advantage of overwhelming the system in some various respects.
Without any trail.
Yes.
A practical trail to the sources.
And we've also seen that in North Carolina when you see 250-something people registered in the parking lot at a college or something like that. So all these people must live in cars or something like that. Folks, we're going to take another quick break and hear from our sponsors and supporters. Thank you for staying with us.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols, buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory, come for the thoughtful advice. East 70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Welcome back, and thank you for staying with us. Pat.
Okay, here's what I wrote at the bottom of my notes. You know, we listen to Iran chant death to America, death to Israel. We listen to the Palestinians chant that. And I think when people tell you who they are, you should listen.
I agree.
That makes
you should listen. Yes.
And that goes for our elected officials as well.
Well, Kim, I want to comment on something you made while we were on break, comment that you made, that they got rid of McCarthy without a plan. Well, what we're seeing, talk about transparency, what we're seeing is naked political maneuvering. And at least we know what's going on. We know who's voting yes, who's voting no. I've been on the phone calling Congress, calling the representatives that are on the list of people that voted against Jim Jordan. Not that it's doing any good, but they're saying that the phones are melting down up there.
Very much so, yes.
I want to bring in a disclaimer here. We are not a politically affiliated organization. We are conservatives, and we care about politics. Most of our members are involved in politics in some way. And the battle for the speakership has a lot to do with the conservative movement versus the Republicans that are willing to go along to get along.
And by the way, even us sitting around the table right now, we do not have to give up our individual rights as to who we support. As an organization, we're not supporting an individual. As individuals, we can support whoever we want.
That is true.
By plan, I don't mean ABCD itinerary. I mean we would know in advance who they were going to put up to be speaker instead of the jockeying for position. You would have had an idea what the blowback was going to be, so we wouldn't be in the situation that we are in now.
But Kim, it's never happened before. They've never removed a speaker before. So how could they have a plan? They didn't know.
Well, it seems to me if the switchboard is melting down, they should be getting a message.
Well, it seems to me that the Democrats always seem to go in lockstep.
Yes.
So I guess that's what I mean. What it's like it. Don't ask a question unless you already know the answer.
That's what
What is at stake here is that the speaker controls the money, the party money, that goes to his party's reelection campaigns.
And I think that's what's behind all this. McCarthy is still the one in power, and I think the holdouts are holding out so that Scalise was done, Jordan was done, McCarthy's going to come back in on the white horse saying, I'm here to save the day, and they're going to put him back in, and Matt Gaetz will get a slap on the wrist for causing all this drama.
But we need to remind these dissenting Republicans, what is your job up there? Your job up there is to make 12 sets of budgets that go out and get passed. You need to control the funding. Right now, you are the wrong people. I'm pounding on the table. I think we're
ignoring the 800-pound gorilla in the room, which is Trump. This is all about Trump. Well, because Jim Jordan supports Trump. He's a conservative, and they don't want him in charge of the House.
What happened in 2022 was McCarthy gave money to the liberal Republican candidates and did not give money to the candidates who supported Trump. And that cost the Republican seats in the House, and the same thing happened in the Senate with McConnell.
It happened in Georgia big time.
The money went to the, I hate the word rhino, but unfortunately it applies.
Uniparty is also a good word.
I like that better. And so what they're afraid of now is if Jim Jordan is elected speaker, the money is going to go to the candidates, the more conservative candidates. And the problem with the conservatives is that they have the potential of upsetting the apple cart, which is the money train of the uniparty that controls Washington. And regardless of how you feel about Trump, he is the only candidate for president who has enough independent wealth not to be controlled by the money interests in Washington. If we are ever going to drain the swamp, we have to put a non-swamp creature in charge. You cannot drain the swamp when you've got a swamp creature calling the shots.
I know, but you're expecting the swamp to vote in the conservative.
Yeah, I know. The swamp is...
Yeah.
But is the Republican Party in danger of listening to its voters?
That That's a good way to ask it.
Because
no,
my feeling
Why start
is
now?
If they blow this totally, I'm not sure I'm going to bother to vote for a Republican, because what difference does it make?
Well, they're going to have a Republican speaker. We don't know who it's going to be.
I'm not convinced they're going to have a Republican speaker.
Yeah,
they got Hakeem Jeffries chomping at the bat.
No, they're not going to give up that power. It's the only little teeny bit of power we have up in D.C. is the fact that we
Yeah, but they're
the
not using it, so what difference does it make?
No, they're using it. It just doesn't go anywhere because the Senate's never going to agree with them. And so it's symbolic at best, but I would fight tooth and nail to keep that little teeny bit of power. So we're going to end up with a Republican speaker there.
And it may be, McNally? Is it the
McHenry?
McHenry.
It's going to be a compromise candidate.
Are we going to get a budget process at the end of this? Are we going to get back to the normal budget process haven't seen since 2007?
I think they'll keep kicking the can down the road. What they were talking about, if they do with McHenry for 90 days, then we have the same battle in 90 days, and then that's when they're up against the continuing resolution or a budget at the same time. I think it's all political. I think it's all connected. It's all about power. It's all about money.
We used to have something called baseline budgeting, which was why the spending never got cut. If you got $100 for your department last year and you asked for $110 this year and they gave you $105, then you were credited with a $5 reduction while your spending increased. Well, we don't have baseline budgeting right now. We have continuing resolutions, which are even worse.
I would like to see something done somehow, someday in our budgets where there would be some kind of rule that where you budget the money has to be constitutional. You know, if you look at how much money and how much debt that we have and connect the dots to foreign aid and welfare.
Department of Education.
Department of Energy, that all of those things that are not constitutionally regulated, we could solve our money problems in the country pretty quickly.
And you also have the situation where unelected bureaucrats in these agencies are making laws.
Through regulation.
And laws are supposed to come through elected officials. They're not supposed to come through unelected bureaucrats.
Congress delegated that power to them. The legislature delegated that power.
Because they didn't want to be held accountable.
No, they didn't want to be bothered. Do you know how the regulatory scheme is massive? Congress doesn't have time to do all the regulations on how to implement the laws that they pass. So they delegated that power. They're not going to take it back. So to expect that they will, ever will, is...
Well, they don't have the time to read the laws that they're passing either.
Exactly.
Okay.
So how would they get around to the regulations?
Now, I would suggest what whoever is going to become that speaker, the first thing that they do is send out for Subway sandwiches and then lock the doors to the House of Representatives and say, you're not leaving until we have 12 budgets.
Well, what about, too, there's already a lawsuit against them coming to take our gas stoves, which they said they'd never do, but the law's already there and the lawsuit fighting.
Well, now they're going after furnaces. I read that this morning.
But we can't, there is not a legislator that we can unelect who said you can't have your gas stove. Because it's a regulation. It's not a law.
No, the best you can do is somebody file a lawsuit and ask eventually the U.S. Supreme Court to decide whether or not making that kind of decision is within the power, the delegated power of Congress to that regulatory agency.
But they're already doing that with electric vehicles and clean energy when they're saying by 20 whatever you have to have X percent of your state.
Somebody's going to have to sue over it. And
somebody with deep pockets has to sue because that costs a lot to go up through that chain of...
That's right.
And just to go along with that, the head of an electric bus company that received major government subsidies just went bankrupt, and the CEO of the company got appointed to a position in the Biden administration. So failure means you get promoted up.
Peter, don't you remember Solyndra?
It's same thing, but they put the CEO in the administration.
Did you hear about Jackson Hole, Wyoming? Their entire bus fleet, thank you, wouldn't work. Their electric fleet died. So they had no bus service in Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
Did they say why the fleet died?
Cold. Because I know that where they've had, there was a place, I think it was Michigan, they had gone to electric school buses. And, of course, electric vehicles, the batteries lose their charge very quickly in cold weather. And they had, it didn't work. I mean, it might work in some place like Florida, although then if you run over salt water where the ocean's on the road, your bus catches fire. You know, minor details.
Hey.
But it's not going to work in the northern part of the country. And in New York, New York City, they're telling people not to park their electric scooters inside the building because they've had building fires. So your neighbor's parked his electric scooter out in the hallway and your apartment burns down. Not a good idea.
I'm not as concerned about the lack of technology as I am these mandates. I used to live in New Mexico, and the governor of New Mexico has now mandated that all vehicles will be electric by 2035. Where does she get off mandating anything? This is the same governor that, of course, mandated that you couldn't have concealed carry. They forget. You know, didn't we fight a war about somebody ruling us instead of governing us?
Can we get her an electric scooter, and that will be her method of transportation now?
And again, that those folks are supposed to be serving us. Yes, yes, not ruling us. Yes.
I'm just going to mention that last night, which was Tuesday, the CCTA had a public meeting with Speaker Lauren Spivak, who talked about energy, extreme environmentalism, and socialism. And you missed if you weren't there, you missed a phenomenal presentation. And many of us he has some books out, many of us bought his books. And next month we're going to be hearing from John Droz, which should be equally interesting. But we were truly informed and entertained last night.
He was enlightening and funny.
He was hysterical funny. Just as an example, he was talking about pollution and asking people to give him a definition of pollution. And then he went on to explain, we live on a pile of dirt.
Ball of dirt.
Yes.
Sorry that you folks missed that, but it was a great talk. And again, thank you for staying with us, and we hope you enjoyed the CCTA wake-up call.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.